Putnam, hello everybody. Shakti activation 9/24/2013. Welcome to Yogi Bhajan and all the angels and beings of light that come and join us every week for us to receive the beautiful frequencies of the tantric transmissions and also for the angels to interact with us. I'm hearing them saying that it's been as important to them as it is to us. So we have a, I guess we could call it a angelic or galactic interface also going on these calls where we are interacting with each other and with other seen and unseen beings in other dimensions. They just came in. And we've been talking about personally how we've been working with dissolving, I would say, situations in our lives that are uncomfortable for us, that we're noticing, situations that are coming to the surface or coming into the light, and it's how we work with these situations at this time to transform, dissolve, and to move into our shadow is what's being shown in the astrology at this time. So we'll talk for a minute about that, and then we'll talk about the archetype, and if anybody wants to share as we go along, we can, and we'll share at the end and move into our meditation, our planetary healing and personal transformation. So we'll start with a deep breath to move into that higher frequency to activate the frontal lobe or the frontal cortex of our brain. So this period of time is really moving out of our reptilian brain, that which is our unconscious, because this period of time is really about, it's such a blessing because we're being shown what is in our unconscious so that we can literally move into our crystalline cells from our reptilian brain to the frontal lobe so we can move into being the humans, the beings of light that we really are, and access more and more of our divine selves. So this period of time shows us what's still stored in that unconscious, the subconscious, that reptilian brain. It could, the feelings, the deep feelings that we're having could be just stored in our DNA from ancestors, maybe way back from the beginning of time when whatever our point of reference is, the Garden of Eden or the Anunnaki creating us with genetic manipulation or whatever frame of reference you have. What we're releasing, we're feeling personally and in the world around us, is we're going into those deepest, I could even say, archetypical patterns of darkness and reframing them from the consciousness or the awareness of the realm of how we would look at situations from basically the fifth dimension, our higher selves, our multidimensional divine self. So we're learning to look with the light of divine eyes. And so this period of time, as we bring up images or shadows or situations that have caused us suffering in the past, as we look at these situations with our divine eyes, then we're able to allow the light to, as we've been saying, I love the word dissolve, that we were talking as a group a minute ago, we're able to actually dissolve the images of suffering, the shadow images that have been literally plaguing us for, who knows, forever on the planet. So we've been talking the last few weeks how we have moved into healing the most primal wound of any human being ever incarnated, which is that feeling of separation, that we got separated from God, unity consciousness, the divine, goddess, spirit, whatever particular name we have for the field of being. The yogis call it the ethers, and that the ethers are in a live field, the field of being that we exist in. So we're moving more and more into, with the astrology, into the depth of the illusion of that separation. And this piece that we're working with this week, which is an ongoing piece, but this, I'll say that's highlighted this week, is that Venus and Scorpio piece, where we're going deep down into the underworld, and we're looking at what is the balance since we just moved through the equinox, and now the sun has moved into Libra. How do we balance the underworld with the world of light? Where is that balance between light and darkness? Where is the justice? Where is the equality? Where is that peace that moves us into peace and harmony and into that feeling of being reconnected with whatever we felt caused us pain? And it's all the pain of separation. So if we're in that field of unity, in that unity consciousness, then we may experience different situations around us. We may be annoyed by the clutter in our house. But as we move into these higher frequencies, then we can look at what needs to be done to keep opening up more and more light in the situation. So now we're focused on cleaning the temple. So it's as if we're going into a temple and we notice, like, oh, this statue needs to be polished, and the floor needs to be swept. So we're really focusing on devotion and worship, that which is worth traveling with. So we're moving into not a time of blind worship or blind devotion, but of connected, being connected with what's worthwhile, what's worth taking with us on this journey as we move into these higher frequencies. That's really the question that we're asking on this journey this week. So with the sun in Libra, we're balancing out what comes, what goes, what's light, what's dark. So where's the point of harmony where heaven and earth meet? In our own fields, in our own hearts, in our own first three chakras. So Libra is the sign of relationship and its partnership, and it's ruled by Venus. So with Venus in Scorpio, actually conjunct the north node of the moon and Saturn, we just had that conjunction, and that's a lot of words. But what Saturn has to do with getting things in order. Saturn is Kronos, the father of time. It's also order. So this is time, is literally getting our house in order. We're going into the darkness to say what needs to be reordered. And we're asking what needs to be reordered with these new frequencies that are coming onto the planet, with these divine frequencies. So that's what the astrology is telling us. Go into your shadow, go into the Scorpio, go into your first three chakras, and notice what's causing you suffering. So we know the heaven coming onto the earth, our consciousness going down into the earth has to go down. The yogis call it the first three triangles, money, sex, and power. So what's our relationship? These are all earthly experiences. Money is really of the earth, you know, think of a money tree. Money really does only grow on the earth, because once we're in the higher frequencies, and of course when we're not in a body, we don't need money, right? So what's our relationship with that? Is that something that we feel comfortable with, or there's greed involved, or, you know, what is it? So how are resources being reallocated on the planet? That's one thing that we're working with on the planetary field. And how is our connection with our own creativity? What are we creating with every thought, with every breath? And what's our connection with our own power? In the fifth dimension, in the field of the fifth dimension, we're in a field where it's a field of power for everyone to share. It's really a shared field. So there is a sacredness, rather than when we get into more individuation on planet Earth, it seems as if people have the opportunity, and they have, to power over, take more than they need, you know, etc. All the things that cause damage on the Earth. So with the Libra, we're moving back into a time of harmony, into a time of balance. So however that shows up personally with Venus in Scorpio, it's a very personal experience also, because it's our deepest feeling. So whatever we feel most deeply about, that we feel unresolved about, or even resolved about, it's whatever we feel most deeply about, what our deepest core values are what is coming up to the surface for us to look at. Are we in balance with our deepest core values? If we really want to move from emotion to devotion, what are we doing to be devoted to whatever it is that we value? Being devoted to cleaning the temple, you know, maybe it's, like I said a minute ago, maybe it's getting rid of clutter, you know, maybe it's devotion to our health. So it's moving into those higher frequencies where we can access the energies that are coming through onto the planet, so we can benefit from the configurations, the star portals that are sending energies to us. So the configurations of the planets, and we've talked about this before, are a certain matrix, and they hold a certain geometric form. And with this certain geometric form, it's a portal, it's a container for certain harmonic frequencies to come onto the planet, come into this field of being. But if they're not received, then they're just wasted. So as we become aware of these harmonics and the star matrices, we can tune our ascension instruments, tune our auras, tune our spiritual bodies with these beautiful harmonic frequencies. So now, with Venus and Scorpio, we can experience the depth and beauty of love, and we can experience the depth of devotion in our own hearts, and we can experience the depth of devotion, how we share love in whatever ways with other people, whether it's love of humanity or it's love of the animals. So we start to experience the deeper and deeper levels of what it really means to open our hearts, what it really means to be in harmony with the earth. And maybe we're using the same words, but when we feel the energies and we feel the portal matrix frequencies, we're literally getting tuned up. And on these calls, you know, as an example, because that's where we are right now, we're getting the balance of heaven and earth, because we have Yogi Bhajan working with us, and we have the angels working with us. So they're giving us the transmission of these really pure frequencies. And so this is an opportunity to vibrate with really pure frequencies and just set aside whatever it was that we either needed to do or had to do, or, you know, kind of got caught up in. So this is a portal moment where they're tuning us with these sacred frequencies that are being matrixed on the planet at this time. So that's Venus in Scorpio. So we have Venus in Scorpio September 10th and until October 7th. So this time period where we're talking about the dissolving the darkness, and this last month, the September month, that's what you've been feeling. So it's really a month of going into the underworld and finding out, as I said, what's down there, so we can balance these energies. We can balance the divine with the underworld. We can balance the divine masculine with the divine feminine. So it's about, with the Libra, going into the underworld and finding that balance. So now we live with balancing the polarity of creation rather than buying into dualistic thinking, which is third dimensional thinking, right, wrong, good, bad. It's about belief systems. So as a Scorpio takes us into the underworld, the question to ask is, what is my belief system about this particular situation that I'm uncomfortable with? And what consciousness would I like to move into about this situation? So if we have limiting beliefs, or beliefs that are born of duality, or dualistic thinking that we picked up from the culture, it's an opportunity to now choose another paradigm, another point of reference, to choose to accept that creation is polarity, and there's going to be night and day. There's going to be light and dark. There's going to be heaven and earth. So as we're able to live in the field of oneness and embrace duality, then our heart, as I said, begins to just have more and more layers of being open, and then as collectively our hearts open into this field, then we're all getting more healing, and we're all ascending with the earth, with the mother, and that's the ascension frequency that we're falling into and moving into. So I was really enjoying, as I was looking at the astrology this week, working with the archetype of Inanna, who is a very ancient goddess archetype. So it's helpful for us to have archetypes which we can look at as, okay, this is what this represents, and so this is an opportunity of what I'm working with. So archetypes really are healing for us to work with because they take things out of the personality level and out of the kind of victim consciousness, so to speak, of where something's being done to us, and we can say, oh, look, this is a process and part of being, you know, part of the human condition, and this is how this goddess archetype worked with this situation, and this is the symbology of this goddess. So then we can transfer our personal suffering onto an archetype, like Jesus on the cross, right? Sometimes I just feel crucified, you know. Oh well, Jesus did that for us, so I don't have to do that, you know, I don't have to crucify myself. So that's a, you know, pretty big culture example that we deal with. But in terms of Inanna, she is the Sumerian mother goddess, the queen of heaven and earth, or the queen of the underworld. She goes down into the underworld. So she's one of the oldest or longest lasting goddesses from the ancient world, from the Middle East. You know, so when we think of it, she originated in what's modern, you know, Iraq, Iran, you know, that part of the world, the ancient Sumerian culture. So she's said to have been revered for over 4,000 years in the history about her. So some people, some scholars say that she goes back as far back as the Neolithic age. So it's and that she's you know, maybe even 8,000 years ago they found stone sculptures and pictures on pottery and things of this goddess. So she was the all-encompassing mother goddess, and she is the one who represented life, like all of life, the light and the dark. And when she went into the underworld, it was really represented that at that time the darkness was the womb of the goddess out of which new things were born. So the underworld has kind of gotten perverted to mean really bad things, like Scorpio's bad, or these feelings are bad, or emotions are bad. So that's part of the belief system that we're healing with this third dimensional cultural consciousness, that it's not okay to really experience and express all of life. Like, why isn't it this is okay to express sadness and joy? So we have this whole repression of really embracing deeply whatever we feel. And when we embrace deeply whatever we feel and breathe deeply into our bellies and deeply into our heart chakras and deeply into our upper part of our lungs, which opens up our wings, and Inanna has wings, now we can feel in our body the richness of life. We can, so to speak, feel the polarity of the contrast between deep sorrow and deep joy. So all of it is something that we embrace and feel fully in our body, so we don't have to be afraid of it and throw it away or brush it away. We're just experiencing the depth of life, and that's what this goddess represents, is the depth of life. And she was said to be thrown into the underworld, and she got lost in the underworld. And when she was in the underworld, she was hung on a hook and killed, and you know, all those things that sometimes we may feel when we go into darkness. But she was eventually rescued by guardians that she had left at the gate of heaven, and they came for her, and she was resurrected. So she is the dark moon aspect. And in the dark of the moon, when she is resurrected, she gives birth to all new life. So it's a good image to work with. And she was said to be queen of heaven and earth. So when we move into these deeper aspects of ourselves, we talked about that Saturn influence. Saturn is in Scorpio also. When we deal with the depths of our pain and the depths of our feeling and put that in the proper order, Saturn are able to take responsibility for it. Saturn, what happens, we move into our own archetype of taking domain over, or our own kingship, our own queenship. Now we move into the next level of consciousness, which is really a more integrated, mature being, that one that has the ability to command. And Yogi Bhajan always said that you have to be able to lead, to follow before you can lead. So this is an example. This is a period of time when we embrace our shadow, our darkness, the depth of our womb, and the depth of our wound being, that we can, when we put it in proper, and I'm going to say divine order, when we move it from emotion to devotion into the light, now we've claimed our kingship or our queenship. Now we emerge, we walk out of the underworld with the staff in our hand, and Inanna has wings and a serpent, which turns into a staff. We walk out of the underworld with the staff, with the serpent wrapped around it in our hand. Now we can lead, now we can command, now we can lead the world out of the darkness of whatever piece it is that we're drawn to lead the world from. We can show the people how to deep breathe, how to meditate, how to sing, how to chant. So whatever it is, this is the period of time to take command of our own underworld and walk out as a ruler of the divine, a spokesperson for the divine. So she's queen of heaven and earth. She's known as priestess of heaven, light of the world, morning and evening star, first daughter of the moon, loud thundering storm, righteous judge, forgiver of sins, holy shepherdess, opener of the womb, framer of all dreams, framer of all decrees, the amazement of the land, the green one, she of the springing verdure, like the green one, and queen of the soul and soul, the queen of the light and dark. So she is seen as the goddess of life and death, the goddess who arises from the underworld, arises to bring new life. She has the capacity of a life-giving goddess. And it's really about fertility and abundance, but in order to have the new crop grow, you know, we have to have the compost. So this is the time of really digging deep and finding out what it is we need to compost rather than cling to. You know, what do we need to break up and let it compost and give birth to new life at this time. And once we go through, you know, our personal inventory, then of course we can, whatever we feel around us, we can also, you know, put it in the field of our meditation, the field of our light being, what needs to be composted in the world around us. So, of course, as meditators, we are influencing the field of light around us. So we can include, as we do in this group, the suffering of people on the planet, how that's still showing up. and holding that field. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to move between heaven and earth with Rama Dasa. So as we do this chant, bring it up from the earth, up through the body, first chakra, up the feet and legs, open up the heart, up to the crown, and then back down. Rama Dasa Sase Sohang. Okay, I'm just breathing into your belly. Feel that complete balance between heaven and earth, upper and lower chakras, meeting at the heart chakra, spinning multidimensionally, so that you can experience your multidimensional self, receiving the transmissions, the tantric transmissions from our guide and teacher. The purification, the light. And let it go, let it go, let it go. Slowly come back. Wow, that was beautiful. If anybody wants to speak or share, you can. I invite you. I open up the floor. I open up the heavens of this call. Of this call, anyway.
You hit the nail on the head about house cleaning. I have been totally claustrophobic. My house just feels entirely cluttered. I've been, like, trying to rearrange everything all at once, and I know I can't do it all at once, so.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I've got the room that I normally do my sauna, and I couldn't even do it today. I just went out for a walk, and I went to a park and did it.
Mm-hmm. That's so great, yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to get rid of stuff and unclutter and...
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing.
You're doing the same thing, Casey.
I think I've got about 6 bags to go to give away.
Yeah. That's so great.
Oh, thanks, yeah. That's all I've been doing. I feel the need to have space.
Yeah, uh-huh. Me too. It's just, well, you know, recycling is going to be shocked.
But I feel lighter because of it. And,
me too.
I've been doing so much deep breathing and just breathing all the energies in, so that's made me lighter as well.
Uh-huh. When we were doing that meditation, I kept seeing these images of Inanna, and I think maybe that's because I've been looking at them online to prepare for this call. But it was really, for me, it was really powerful to kind of experience the archetypical energy that's going on, mm-hmm. and to kind of have that image so I could focus on the archetype rather than kind of focusing on my own frustrations. It's like, okay, I'm going to stare at this image and understand that what I'm experiencing is, you know, not just inside me, it's out there too, sort of. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just really getting some relief from that. Was anybody else experiencing that?
Mm-hmm. I felt more like I was being healed. I felt a healing.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I felt the same way that we talked about yesterday, like getting into the higher state, feeling felt really energized, relaxed, and nothing matters. I'm aware of all the clutter, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And but again, that's the same thing. It's like none of it matters. I can throw it all out in an instant and,
mm-hmm.
and matter. But then mm-hmm. once I get into a lower state, then it will start mattering again.
And I think that's a really good way to, like, gain your consciousness, don't you guys think?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not kind of aligned with everyone talking about the whole issue around clutter, because that's been coming up in my radar very clearly. And it's not just my own, but it's a combination of other people here. And it's... also, it has to do with mold that's growing in a storage area. just clear the whole state and move into a whole new arena. That's what I'm saying. And the old age.
Mm-hmm.
Out with the old and in with the new, or whatever it is that they're saying.
Yes. Definitely.
I'm ready to support a whole new possibility. So, of a new place, in a new area, you know, everything, the whole thing new. Really, a whole new.
Yes.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? Yeah, it's like if you are aligned with the energies, you know, that's exactly what they want us to do.
Yeah, that's what they want us to do.
dismantle all this old garbage that we have, whether it's physical or emotional or just get rid of it.
No, we need to do this all day, like what we're doing now, and you know, together and individually or whatever. Just stay in this energy all the time.
Well,
I love that meditation with everybody. Go ahead and read.
Well, I wanted to tell him that these bodhisattvas are very special. This group that we are that we have are very special people, and so it feels good to be in the group. And to be not in the group. But this is wonderful.
I just really appreciated doing the Ramadasa with everybody. I led that on Peace Day at a place here in San Diego called World Beat Center, where they have all kinds of meditations and activities and dancing. And it was so powerful. And I just really enjoyed doing that meditation again with the group. I felt so much healing myself meditating with everybody today. So thank you. I feel so much more balanced and peaceful right now.
Me too. I needed that.
And I think, Guru Kiran, I think that's where we're moving. We're moving to a unity consciousness, not a... You know, that's why we like the group. It feels good. You feel like you belong. And that is exactly what's happening right now on Earth, is moving into unity consciousness.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I feel connection. And I felt that connection while we were doing the Ramadan.
I felt that too, that we were moving into a different realm. We were being teleported.
Yeah, it was very beautiful, very peaceful meditation. That's how I feel right now, just peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Just floating, me too. Beautiful.
Satnam, this is Sharon.
Sharon! Hi! Hi, Sharon!
How is everyone? I just heard the call. I met you at work, but I had to share that last night I actually drew that card, Iana.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yes. And it feels like I have been in the underworld for quite some time, and now, you know, it's telling me it's okay to come back out or something. And everything you were saying, too, about all of the other clutter and everything that's going on, you know, I'm so grateful to be grounded with everybody, you know, on this group, because it's so helpful just to, you know, just to rise above it. You see it all, and you can feel it all, but you know, you don't have to own it, so... Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Good to hear your voice. No more strawberries?
Actually, yes. That's ever having strawberries. Not the ones to pick, though, so I don't have to take them back to the field, but yeah, the other things are still here, but yeah, so I'm, but anyway, so I won't be working here on Tuesdays too much longer because I have a class. So next month, so I'll be on the calls more often next month. So.
Okay, great.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you,
Sharon. Happy autumn.
Happy spring equinox.
Happy autumn.
Autumn.
Yes.
Pumpkins are everywhere.
Oh,
I love the
pumpkins.
Oh my gosh, here up in the mountains are pumpkins everywhere, the whole field.
Yay, a field of pumpkins.
Wow. Yeah, they're beautiful. All the colors of orange. Yes.
And our leaves started changing, our trees. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send pictures.
All right.
Oh, Linda, thank you for the pictures that you posted. They were beautiful, too.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing, yeah.
It was so pretty there.
Beautiful. Okay, everybody. We'll keep this beautiful feeling with us. And if, what Yogi Bhajan is giving us to practice this week is the Ramadasa. And he's saying practice belly breathing, really breathing into your bellies, and that represents the womb of Inanna, like we've been talking about. And he said that will help to dissolve whatever, you know, if there's some beliefs that are in there that we're not aware of that are limiting us. He's saying that just deep belly breathing and even breath of fire will help. So those are his, that's our assignment from our master. And it sounds good. So thank you, everybody. Great being with you, and we'll look forward to seeing the posts and the pictures, and we'll keep going.
Thank you. Nice meeting you, Rich. Thank you, Guru Kiran.
Yes.
Thank you,
Satnam.
Satnam, love you all.
Satnam, love you all. Satnam.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.